Who are the nerds in our ramen shop?
Hello, I'm Joel Reinberger.
And I'm Andrew Hogan.
This is Nerdzilla, the podcast for nerds. How's your ramen, Andrew?
Hot, man. Hot. And now I'm sweating through my shirt and I'm loving it. But I tell you what, the sinuses are very, very clear.
That's the first time in the entire time I've known you that your sinuses have been clear.
Yeah, yeah, it's not a regular occurrence, is it? It's like they should bottle that up in that nasal spray that you get from the chemist. Just spicy hot ramen straight up the snout.
I believe the police can apply that to you.
Oh, yes, they can. And did you know, I've actually had to treat, in the practice, a couple of young police cadets because they have to spray it on each other so they can experience what it's like. Now, what I can't work out is, because it basically burns the front of your eyeball, okay? I can't work out, why can't they just say, nah, mate, I believe you, it's going to hurt. That's fine. I'll skip it today. It's all right. Yeah, but apparently they can't.
I had a friend who went through army officer training, and this was pre-capsicum spray, so it was proper tear gas that he had to go through a room full of. And he said, within like 2 seconds of you being exposed to it, your eyes and nose and mouth are just gushing.
Oh, yeah.
You just go outside and face the ground and your whole face drools onto the ground for about an hour.
Yeah, see, this is why I don't do those sort of things. You know, me in pain. It's just not going to happen. But look, that was an excellent meal and an excellent way to start what's, I think, going to be a very interesting night.
I really liked the comic of the Birds of Prey. And I'm looking at the trailer going, this doesn't look anything like the comic, and I've got a feeling I'm going to be terribly disappointed.
I've got a theory that the whole thing is a Harley Quinn fever dream, that this is not reality. Because none of it makes any sense, but it's generally getting much better reviews than Suicide Squad did, and I like the look of it. Yes, I wish the characters were a bit more comic book similar, you know, in their looks and their... But, you know, I'm all up to see Renee Montoya kick some butt.
It's missing Barbara Gordon, though. That's the thing that I'm having trouble with, is that Batgirl slash Oracle, who was always kind of the centre of Birds of Prey, the intelligence behind it, is not there. And But then again, it's entirely a Margot Robbie vehicle. Like, she produced it, she pitched it over and over until she got it through to them. So really, it's all about her.
The Batgirl standalone film is still on their slate to be made. So there was probably character license issues. Have you heard the most recent thing? Karen Gillan wants to play Batgirl and direct the film. That's just what the twits told me a couple of days ago. I'm all up for her playing Barbara Gordon. She'd be fantastic. The irony being, she's got the red hair that's actually not Barbara's real hair. That's the fake part of the cowl. Like, she'd have to have the black cropped hair. So that would be sort of weird. But I can totally see her as Barbara.
No, Barbara Gordon's a redhead. What are you talking about?
No, but in the 60s TV series she wasn't. Yvonne Craig wasn't. Sorry, don't go all...
Barbara Gordon's always been a redhead, you nutbag.
Don't go all canon on me. Yvonne Craig will go home, mate. I like the chaotic look of the film. You know, Harley is chaos. That's what she is.
And she's order who's become chaos.
Yeah.
She's someone who made order out of chaos for a living, getting fractured brains and making them something orderly. And then the opposite process happened to her, and now she's doing the opposite process to the world.
Yeah. So, I mean, whereas Joker is chaos and evil. You know, I seem like I'm talking about D&D alignments, don't I?
So she's chaotic neutral and he's chaotic evil.
Absolutely, because she's also not necessarily a criminal in the strictest sense of the word, in the same as Catwoman isn't, really. They exist.
She robs a lot of stuff, but she's not a criminal.
Correct. I'm going to stand by that. I'm going to 100% stand by that. She's if Batman gives you a pass, you're not a criminal, okay?
Batman lets her rob stuff, and then the fun stuff for him is making her give it back.
That's true. He does do a bit of... I think there's some other fun stuff that they do as well, just quite...
It's all a giant DNS game, domination and submission game.
Yeah, pretty much. That's a good point. And, well, look at the way they both dress. But, yeah, look, so Harley is a really good character to explore. She was clearly the breakout character of Suicide Squad. I think I'm going to like it. I think I'm actually going to enjoy it because I'm just going to not worry about where this fits into the broader scheme of things because it's pretty obvious that DC don't care anymore either.
Can I help you?
Why, yes, yes, you can. I'm here to report a terrible crime.
And what terrible crime is that?
This one. That wasn't the only dame in Gotham looking for emancipation.
So, unless we all want to die very
unpleasant death, we're gonna have to work together.
Sure. Oh, shit. Is that a hyena in a bathtub?
I named him Bruce after that hunky Wayne guy.
In one sentence, Andrew, what did you think of that?
I don't need a sentence, I need a word. Stupid.
I was going to say flashy but entirely average. I actually found myself looking around feeling bored about halfway through.
I don't understand how a film like that gets made. I understand why Suicide Squad was a hot mess because of the behind-the-scenes issues, right? But David Ayer, the director of that, who then had his film cut to pieces afterwards, was a producer on that film. And that film was absolutely what the filmmaker wanted to put on screen. But why they wanted to put on screen something so stupid, I don't understand.
It's a vehicle of one character by one star. That's what it was put together for, to showcase Margot Robbie in her Harley Quinn outfit. Virtually the entire movie was that, and it's just not interesting enough to make a whole movie from. The reason that she was a standout amongst the Suicide Squad, and the thing that made her interesting in that, is she was kind of this flash of sequins and sparkle and chaos amongst all this dourness and masculinity. In this, it's all glitz, it's all flash and colour and movement and chaos, and so she's doesn't stand out in it, and it doesn't really kind of make sense of a way to use the character to me.
They also chose the supporting characters and made them not just not look like they were in the comic books, not even act like them, not even be them. There was no logical reason that the young Asian girl pickpocket had to be Cassandra Cain. Even Montoya was not the Montoya that I know. It was almost as if they were shoehorning in a certain type of character. And then, oh, hang on, but it's got to be linked, so we better pull a name out of a hat so this girl can be Cassandra Cain. No, but Cassandra Cain was a master assassin and crazy, amazing fighter, not a teenage pickpocket. You know, all these weird decisions were made in that film for incomprehensible reasons. There are two amazingly choreographed fight scenes, but even those were gratuitous. The setting, the scenes for both of them. The first one just oh so happens to be happening while the fire sprinklers are on because it allowed some really interesting choreography. The second one just so happened to be happening in a fun park, silly house, again, so that certain things could happen. But none of it felt natural and it all felt forced and contrived.
And I just had this endless problem with no bullets being fired. Someone walks into a police station and manages to blow their way through the entire place, taking time to reload after every single shot, and no cop gets a bloody bullet off.
No one pulls a gun out. And she's got a single shot glitter shotgun that was about the slowest weapon you could have. Yeah, I know. But hey, didn't it look cool? You know, it looked like unicorns had been murdered everywhere then there. But I just know I'm sitting there. The word going through my mind the whole film was why? Why?
I couldn't come up with a good reason within the story for why. The only reason I could come up with is the Hollywood why. Because Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn attracts eyes to cinemas. I reckon it's going to attract a certain amount in the first week and then it's going to crash.
Oh, yeah, it's going to have a big drop, yeah. It would have been entirely valid to make a Harley Quinn film. I mean, to make a film featuring a character from an ensemble film who was clearly the standout makes perfect sense. Again, someone's gone and said, no, let's do Birds of Prey. Except we don't have a script for Birds of Prey. We've got a script for Harley Quinn and her four cool girlfriends doing stuff. But we're going to call it Birds of Prey. But if we call it Birds of Prey, we have to name them after characters from the Birds of Prey comic. It's just, again, this odd logical thing that didn't hold together at all. And look, it tried to do a little bit of weirdness in terms of the storytelling.
It had a bunch of uses of time, of rewinding to show how things came to be. And they also felt like a forced stunt, they didn't actually really help.
I think it looked like a clever trope they were trying to do. There's a foreshadowing at the beginning where Harley Quinn actually says, this is my story, so I'm going to tell it the way I want to, or words to that effect. And as soon as I heard that, I thought, there's going to be bits of this that's her brain embellishing the actual story. But there actually wasn't. You know, if there had been absolute out-and-out ridiculous fantasy scenes that slowly get so absurd that you realise, hang on a minute, this isn't happening. That would have been really interesting, but there wasn't that. It's almost like they were trying to emulate a whole lot of films and didn't quite manage to do any.
Let's talk for a moment about what it did well. The action scenes were well choreographed and fun. There were half a dozen ha moments in it where you went, yeah, that's cool. That's a great little gag, or that's a great little bang piece of action going past there. I can't think of much else that's really good about it.
No, that's exactly right. There's visuals and there are some sight gags, and because that's really all they were, and they weren't particularly original sight gags. You just didn't see them coming. There were some characters acting against type, which is, you know, sort of nice, but there was just, unfortunately, a story that didn't engage at all. Do you think that they thought they were remaking Moulin Rouge because Ewan McGregor was there? Because there was a whole lot of scenes where I thought, like, the film was going to acknowledge its own soundtrack, like Baz Luhrmann's film did with all of the pop songs. Yeah, yeah. And now can we talk about Mr. McGregor? He wasn't trying very hard, was he? I can't.
He wasn't even phoning that in. He was faxing it in, Andrew.
No. He was getting his PA to send an email from her phone. It's in, is what he was doing. Now, look, I can't act, and so I'm not one to criticise. But hang on, we're critics, so we are one to criticise. And yeah, you know, I think actually deep down, I always wanted a Batman film with Black Mask as the villain because I found him fascinating. Black Mask's whole role in the gang wars in Gotham, which was a great run of the comics that I think was probably Grant Morrison's. I loved him as a character and had not come across him before. And in that movie, he literally could have been anyone.
The two main bad guys are gibbering psychopaths. Mm. They like to kill and murder and be in control. It's not actually terribly interesting.
And to have his offsider as Mr. Zazz, who you should have been able to do so much more with. I mean, Zazz would not ever be Black Mask's personal bodyguard and hitman. He just wouldn't do that.
And again, they shoehorned in the Mr. Zazz gimmick, which is that he kills people and then cuts a scar in himself to memorialise the...
To keep count.
They kind of shoehorned it in. It wasn't actually necessary for that character in that movie. They just shoehorned it in so they could say it was really Mr. Zazz in the movie.
Yeah, there was no ongoing... It didn't have any point to it. And in fact, he killed lots of people without scarring himself. Now, I'm going to point out, if I ever met Victor Zazz, I'd say, dude, there's a notes app on your phone. Keep count like that. It's a lot less painful, okay? You don't need to...
That's what Facebook is for.
Yeah, exactly.
Just Instagram the bodies.
Yeah, tweet that shit, you know. See if you get as many likes as my Star Trek Picard tweet, which is up to 744. Just thought I'd drop that in, folks. So I think of
There's got to be something that we like amongst this today, Andrew, and there was not much in that cinema.
Well, I'm going to go home and watch the next episode of Star Trek Picard, and I can guarantee that will be the best thing I've watched all day. And we've had daytime TV on at work all day, so I've seen some absolute crackers.
Come on, you've watched me across the dinner table tonight, Andrew. Surely I would be your highlight.
Yeah. Yes, you are, Joel. Yes, you are, Joel. Yes.
The romance has gone out of our relationship, Andrew.
Oh, look, it was never really there.
You've been faking it all this time.
Yeah, and you could never tell. So, look, I'm going to say that is probably the most forgettable of the DC films, even the bad ones. You know, I would sit down and watch Batman v Superman again, even though it's not a perfect film and Justice League's a tad boring. But, you know, I engaged with those characters and at least they were made by filmmakers who were trying to put the comic book characters on the screen. No one was trying in that film to put any comic book character on the screen. They'd just written a movie.